We wouldn't be able to keep this archive going without your support. Donate online today at wyxr.org.
Come on, Radio Hour. We're coming to you tonight from Off Square Books on the Square in Oxford, Mississippi. Thank you. Welcome to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. As I mentioned, we're at our old stomping grounds, one of our original broadcast homes Off Square Books, right here on the square in Oxford. Beautiful crowd, beautiful weather outside, and a fine show for y'all. Alice Hazen and the Blaze is here. Those fiddle-powered grooves, y'all. Yeah. Oh, there she is. I'm glad I was saying nice things about you. Alice Hazen, one of our favorites, is here. Julie Williams is here, y'all. Julie Williams, one of the next women of country music, CMT says, and our author is M.L. Rio with a spooky book called Graveyard Shift. Ooh, yeah, she's really great book. But let's get this band going on this beautiful evening, y'all. Please welcome to the stage the Yalla Bushwhackers, boys.
Anybody else out there want to come up and join us? Plenty of room on the stage. Thank you. Thank y'all.
Yellow Bushwhackers, y'all. Let them hear you. Ricky Burkhead, Slade Lewis, Keon Love helping us out. Alice Haston on that fiddle back here. Brady Reese on guitar. And our old buddy Mark Iacovone on the accordion, y'all. Welcome home, brother. The Yalom Bushwhackers. All right, man, getting us going here at Off Square Books. As I was telling our crowd that we did the show here for almost 20 years, the good folks at Mississippi Public Broadcasting, when we were doing it over at the old store, which is now McEwen's, I believe, we sat down with him and he said, all right, yeah, I want to be a statewide broadcast. At the time, we were three counties. You want to be a statewide broadcast or do you want to be a PTA meeting? And I thought, you know, sir, I've listened to MPB. It sounds a lot like a PTA meeting a lot of the times. But by the way, what's wrong with PTA meetings, sir? But anyway, we took that to heart, and we really started bearing down on the show. And, man, we moved from that location to this location. This was our new location at one point. And the good old audience, you folks, moved with us. And then we've moved yet again, as y'all know, to the Powerhouse. But boy, we've got some memories and wonderful tapes and CDs and recordings of shows done right here in this building. We need to fish those out and get a little greatest hits thing going. But there would be probably a 10 or 20 box set because there'd be a lot of great authors and music happen right here, including tonight, if y'all don't mind. Alice Hazen and the Blaze. Well, your album is brand new EP, Dream of Rain. And I remember when I saw it coming out a few weeks back, I thought, what a great title. And then all of a sudden it rained for like 10 days in a row. And I thought, well, we're still dreaming of rain because I understand we still need some in places, if you can believe that. We also need some good fiddle playing. Don't y'all agree? Please welcome Alice Hazen and the Blaze.
Thanks, everyone. Super excited to be back here at Thacker. This is the place I first played with Blackwater Trio back in, I think, 2017. So glad to be back. Like you said, Dream of Rain is about all the things to do with climate change and global warming. This first song is called Temperature Rising. Thank you. Thanks, everyone. So with me, I have Alice Hazen in the Blaze, which is a wonderful combo. You've got Walt Busby on guitar, Jesse Williams on drums, Andrew Geraci on bass, and our very own Yellow Bushwhackers alum, Mark Iacobone on keys, who's filling in today for our keys player. So this next song off the new AP is the eponymous song, Dream of Rain. And like we already discussed, sometimes we don't need more rain. But this, more than anything, is a wish for us to manifest the thing that will come and heal our ills. So for me, it was inspired by the wildfires of 2020 in Australia. And since then, it just seems to sadly be relevant year after year. But like we all know, some of our problems are floods. Some of our problems are inside. So this is a wish for us to manifest those proverbial rain clouds and get them to where they need to go, to dream of rain, pray for rain, sing for rain, and dance for rain. It's not too late to make a change. It's not in vain. Just dream of rain. Hope you enjoy. Coffee grounds and headlines. Now I'm awake. Papers open to another blaze. Have you heard the news? People have the blues today. TV cameras just can't look away. Active man alone, no God's mistake. Have you heard?
Dream of rain.
for rain, sing for rain, dance for rain. It's not too late to make a change. It's not in vain, just make it rain. Sun, moon, stars, and hurricanes. Anything that does of flames. And one day we'll be home again amidst the pain. Still hope remains. Dream of rain, pray for rain, sing for rain, dance for rain. It's not too late to make a change. It's not in vain, just make it rain. Sun, moon, stars, and hurricanes. Everyone. So after we're done dreaming of rain, we gotta have a little redemption. So the next song on the EP is about looking up at the moon. And maybe some of you have shared in this emotion, but even when things are going wrong on the surface of the world and inside sometimes, I know I get a sense of peace looking up at the moon and always knowing that it shall never be touched. It's always going to be serene and looking down on us. So this last song I'll play for you is called Goodnight Moon. I also just want to say I'm really pumped to be sharing the stage today with two other amazing women, and I can't wait to hear their contributions. So can't wait for the rest of the show. And thanks for having me.
Smoke in the east, light in the west, a fever dream if you're ready or not. Fighting a war over who knows best, but I can see that we're coming in hot. Caught victim by our fire lust, even if it kills, we'll be winning the race. Victors of dust, prizes of rust, well past the end, we'll be keeping pace. Good night, moon. Blue now, shine.
I've got the new EP back there, so I'll see you after the show. Thank you all so much.
Alice Hazen and the Blaze, y'all. One more time for them. Great stuff. Thank you, Alice. Again, that EP is called Dream of Rain. Boy, she can play that violin. And I'm not sure where that line between violin and fiddle is, but she blasted right through it, wherever it is, ladies and gentlemen. She's great. All right, thank you, Alice. Want to remind you that you are listening to the Thacker Mountain Radio Hour. You're hearing us on WUMS, also on the stations in Memphis, Tennessee, WYXR Community Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, the stations of the aforementioned Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We love those folks at MPB, also Alabama Public Radio, the good folks at WUTC Community Radio in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the good folks at WUOT Community Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and KNCE True Taos Radio in Taos, New Mexico. Yeah, man. Also, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Proud Larry's, the good folks at Red Panther, Cathead Distillery, Wonderbird Spirits, where we will be Saturday, October 19th for our membership party. All of y'all are welcome. Come bid on some items here at the Yellow Bushwhackers and more. Also, the good folks at Southside Gallery, Yotna Batava Arts Council, thank you so much. The good folks at Visit Mississippi, the Mississippi Arts Commission, the good folks at Square Books, y'all. Square Books, it's a member of the family, please. Freeland Drum Lab, Larry and Michael Johnson Family Foundation, Carol Etheridge Family Foundation, Dr. Stephen and Gay Case, the Snooky and Mary Lou Williams Foundation of Water Valley, Mississippi. You too can be a Thacker backer and help keep this show rolling along. More info at thackermountain.org. Thank you. Keon Love, y'all. Also, a shout-out to the good folks at the Sarah Isom Center for Women and Gender Studies at the University of Mississippi for partnering with us on these last couple of shows, and we tip our hat to their Sarah Fest, which is a month-long celebration of exhibits, lectures, and radio shows. So thank you, good folks at Sarah Isom Center. All righty, y'all ready to get very scary and deal with rats and swamp fungus and stuff like that? I thought so. M.L. Rio, this book is a gothic novella. It's called Graveyard Shift. It is from Flatiron Books. Some of you may be familiar with her previous book, If We Were Villains, which is something of a publishing phenomenon. When it first came out, it was crickets, dead in the water, and then it became this international bestseller. Her follow-up is Graveyard Shift. It's 100 pages, like I said, a novella, about five people with terrible insomnia. And they're all in the college community, and the only place to grab a smoke, because you can't smoke on campus, is, well, the cemetery. So they meet there and talk about their insomnia and smoke cigarettes and get into all kind of really morbid adventures. It is really wonderful. Y'all please welcome M.L. Rio.
Oh, there you are.
All right. I want to touch on your first book, which really was If We Were Villains, a novel also set on a college campus. That sort of seems to be your setting thus far. It's a great place for drama and so forth. But tell us how it came to be. I understand when it came out, it just dropped off the face of the earth and you thought, well, maybe I'll try something else. And then jackpot. What happened?
Yeah, it's very long. It's a long, strange trip, if you will. I wrote If We Were Villains when I was a senior in college. So I was quite young and I was still at UNC at the time. And I'd written a bunch of books before that, but nothing that really felt like it was worth a reader's time. But I was also an actor, and I was mostly a Shakespearean actor. And finally, a light bulb kind of went on and I went, oh, well, why have you never written a book about this really strange kind of closed culty world of the Shakespearean theater? So I did that, and I did manage to sell the book, but then it came out, and I once heard another author who was debuting describe it as a firestorm of silence. There's a lot of hullabaloo around when the book first comes out, and then everybody just loses interest completely, including your own publisher. And this is not not anomalous at all. This happens all the time in publishing. But I was about 25, and it was pretty soul-crushing to have my first book come out, and then after that, have a bunch of people say to me, yeah, you're probably not getting published again because the numbers just aren't there. So I did a pretty hard pivot to academia and went and got my master's in Shakespeare and eventually my PhD. And about halfway through my PhD program, we started to see the sales numbers swing up. And we didn't really know why. But I think what happened is it was during the pandemic. It was about 2020 when we started to see this change. And I think what happened is just that a lot of young people who were looking forward to going off to school or going back to school didn't get to do that because of COVID. And they sought out campus novels instead as like a vicarious version of that experience. So Villains just got kind of pulled along in the wake of enthusiasm for this genre. Yeah. And so I'm just very lucky that the tables kind of turned in my favor.
How many countries or how many translations are we at now? You're at 19 or 20 or something?
Something like that. I don't know that I have the exact number. I think it's maybe 20 countries and 18 languages, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I happen to have the Google at the house. And... I'm cutting edge. Don't even know. I got the YouTube too. Forget about it. 20 countries and 18 languages. You went from you'll never be published again to you're a global phenom. And here you are in Oxford, Mississippi. Bless you. All right. Yes. That'll tell them you'll never be published. Blah, blah, blah. And very quickly, we want you to read, but I do want to ask you about the story of this book being published. And you had some travails, including shattering your foot. This book, Graveyard Shift, was coming out. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I finished my PhD in May of 23. And at that point, the book was selling pretty well. So everybody was going, where is the next novel? So I turned around to start writing another book pretty much immediately. And I was pretty deep in that when my publisher for the first book called and said, hey, by the way, we are interested in maybe doing a novella. Is that something you might like to try? And I really did. I had this idea of I'd always wanted to write a story that took place in like 12 hours, like a whole story that took place in just one night. So because I'm a little bit crazy, I said, sure, let's do it while I'm writing this other book at the same time. I was living out of my car because I was doing research for that book on the road mostly. And then in the middle of all that, I shattered my calcaneus and my subtalar joint.
For you to say.
Yeah. Yeah, shattered is never a word you want to hear from a doctor.
Right.
So I spent the rest of that year with, you know, both crutches under one arm and dragging my suitcase with the other hand. I was in an orthopedic boot for, I think, 6 months. Man. And writing two books at the same time.
And then you told me moving out of your your home, out of your apartment or your house? You were moving out at the same time you're on crutches.
I was, yeah. I had just sold my house because I knew I was going to be kind of on the road for a couple of years. And we had our closing date, and then I broke my foot. And I said, okay, I'm going to find a way to move out of a two-story house on crutches.
Wow.
So would not recommend.
Man. Well, you've got to write all that up. That's quite a story. But nothing compared to a graveyard shift. This is a perfect story for this time of year. Again, y'all, zombie fungus. Please, watch out for it. It's a thing. Let's hear some of this book. It is Graveyard Shift, ML Rio, y'all.
Twelve o'clock a.m. Edie. They met in the cemetery every night at midnight. Not on purpose exactly, but not quite by accident either. University policy prohibited smoking within 100 feet of any campus building. And on the west side of campus, where the borders between the medical school and the broader community were especially porous, the only place a person gasping for a cigarette could safely stand was in the unkempt graveyard behind the Church of St. Anthony the Anchorite. Most of the names on most of the gravestones had been scrubbed out by time or teenage vandals. The church itself had been boarded up and was so overgrown with vines and moss and mold that the "Danger, keep out" sign nailed across the doors was decidedly redundant. Since its designation as a local historic landmark, it was protected from the bulldozers and wrecking balls that had razed everything else south of Azalea Street to make way for more patients, more parking, more gift shops and dining halls. While the medical school constructed, St. Anthony the Anchorite deconstructed, one brick, one beam at a time. Nobody in their right mind would loiter in its long shadow in the middle of the night, but nobody in their right mind still smoked these days anyway. So Edie Wu told herself as she trudged across campus from the offices of the Bell Tower Times. She was always the last to clock out, her grim duty as editor-in-chief to lash herself to the masthead, go down with the ship. But lately, she didn't clock out so much as take five, take a break, take a walk. Tell herself one cigarette a night was not a habit, just a way to take the edge off when she was, well, on edge. And when was she not? Yes, it was a student paper, but a six-time Pacemaker Award-winning student paper circulating to 10,000 readers. Her predecessor had graduated and gone on to The Nation, but still cast a long shadow across Edie's desk. Some nights she wished for catastrophe to strike, just so she'd have a big story to break, which only made her feel worse in the morning because she still had no story, but she did have a fresh black bruise on her conscience. The bigger problem was the lump. Since its first appearance 2 weeks ago, everything had felt hugely, horribly urgent. She pulled her coat a little closer and hurried toward the ramshackle shadow of the anchorite, a rock-bound black mass rudely eclipsing the sickly sickle moon. She was huffing and puffing by the time she crested the hill and slipped through the gate, which refused to stay latched anymore. Like the keep-out sign, the gate was redundant. Nobody wanted to huddle in a moldering churchyard after midnight because there was nowhere else to smoke, but huddle they did. Misery loved company and made strange bedfellows. Two of the others had beaten her there. She knew them by their shadows. Tuck, with his hands in his pockets and his shoulders hunched, was always first. Beside him stood Hannah, who put her hood up at the first rustle of autumn and didn't take it down again until May. Oddly, though, they weren't talking. They stared down at the ground in stony imitation of the graveyard angels, without the blank, unblinking eyes or patchy beards of lichen. When they heard Edie's footsteps round the Druilt obelisk, they looked up and she looked down and realized that what they were actually staring at was a hole in the ground. Edie stared too. "The hell is that?" Hannah took a long drag. "The hell do you think?" The hood cast her narrow face in shadow, blacked out both her eyes. Of the other anchorites, Edie liked her least. She turned to Tuck instead, already fumbling to light his second smoke. "Don't look at me," he said. "I don't know anything." "It wasn't here last night," Edie said. "Duh." Hannah let her mouth hang open, smoke spilling out. She lifted one foot and knocked the peak off the little mountain of dirt at the edge of the hole. Edie peered down into the darkness. Hairy, gnarled roots poked out of the damp earth and cobwebbed it with white threads of mycelia. "Who was the last to leave?" "Ask the rector." Hannah steepled her hands in a mockery of prayer and bowed towards Tuck. He pinched the cigarette against his lips. "Me," he said. Not actually a rector in any official capacity, but he might as well have been. Always the first to arrive, always the last to leave. Edie sometimes wondered what he was avoiding. She had trouble checking the impulse to pry into everything. The lump throbbed reproachfully. It did that now, when her journalistic ambitions got the better of her. She knew she was probably imagining it, but that, like the many statistics arguing in favor of its being entirely benign, did not comfort her much. "Did you see anything weird?" "Is this your first time here?" Hannah said. "Everything about this place is weird." The anchorite did seem oddly lost in time and space. It had stood on the same spot for 200 years while the town and the college exploded around it. On one side, a parking garage cast a murky orange light as if the night outside had oxidized. Glaring red letters spelled out emergency in the black sky southward. The west wall opened into an alley behind the Calhoun Center for Behavioral Psychiatry, and the north wall followed a narrow road that eventually crossed paths with the modest nightlife flitting up and down Azalea Street. The light of the street lamps encroached only so far, held at bay by a wall of ivy that had filled in the gaps between the bars of the fence. Within its crooked boundaries, angels wept elegantly over headstones while swinish gargoyles grinned and leered from their perches on either side of the church doors. Weeds grew without restraint. An oak tree, even older than the church, squatted in one corner, dropping acorns and orange leaves every October, until the branches were bare and jack-o'-lantern mushrooms took up residence among the roots. Some had sprouted already, glowing eerily in the dark.
ML Rio, y'all.
Thank you.
ML Rio, Graveyard Shift. It is from Flatiron Books, and ML will join us after the show. Sign copies. Visit with us some more. I bet we also have copies of If We Were Villains, her novel that really bounced back and made kind of got her going. Great stuff with this Graveyard Shift. All right, Julie Williams. CMT, Country Music Television's Next Women of Country Music, and they have, I don't know, I guess a couple of dozen. They name a couple every year, and you're in the batch this year, is it? And that's quite an honor. You also play with the Black Opry, which is a fine group also in Nashville. You have a new album coming out called Tennessee Moon, and I've been listening to it today and yesterday, and it is just fine.
You.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
thank you. I hope we hear some of it right now. Y'all, please welcome Julie Williams.
You told me from the first go that you're going, but a part of me believed you wouldn't leave. I drew poems out of words you never spoke yet. I heard a love songs in your footsteps on a fallen leaf. Okay. case I never saw you again. Will I see you again? I was your blue moon, circling around you, chasing a golden sky as it fades to gray. Our paths would collide, those warm southern nights when you wanted them to. Sun, and I was just once in Tennessee.
It is such an honor to be here. This is my first time ever playing in Mississippi, so it is just incredible to be here. Funny enough, the first time I actually went to Mississippi was on a road trip with the person that I wrote the last song about, funny enough. So it's just such an honor to be here. I'm going to next play a song of mine that I wrote about my hair, the curls that I have on my head. That I absolutely love now, but it took me many years for me to love my natural hair, and I think really that journey to love myself as myself, it wasn't just about my hair. And I just want to share that with you tonight. It's called Southern Curls.
Southern baby, bow-tied big girl, white-eyed new white shoes. Mama put my coat on, kissed me, and sent me off to school. For my first day at a new place, Daddy held my hand and walked me down the hallway. Then he waved and said they'll love you. But not all Southern girls are met with open doors. Some of us are looked down on before we're even born. Curls are too tight, skin is too dark to feel beautiful just as we are. I'm a Southern girl with the wrong kind of Southern curls. With the wrong kind of Southern curls. Oh. 15 lipsticks sneaking mama's high heel shoes off to my first school dance will I get my first kiss too? Was on cloud nine till I heard my biggest crush tell me I'd have better luck with my own kind. And I cried cause I knew not all southern girls are met with open doors. Some of us are looked down on before we're even born. Curls are too tight, skin is too dark to feel beautiful as we are. I'm a southern girl with the wrong kind of southern curls. With the wrong kind of southern curls. Oh, wish I could tell the bow-tie girl that feels alone inside this world she's gonna be okay. The times are changing, but the world still tries to pull me down. I've had to fight to love myself. Sometimes it feels like I can't breathe. I fight so no one has to feel that anymore. City with dreams and high-heeled boots, singing for a crowd of blue eyes. Will they want me to? But all those mean words that ruled my world don't make me feel like less than anymore, because I know that I glow and so do you. Not all southern girls are met with open doors, but all are beautiful from the moment we're born. Curls aren't too tight, skin ain't too dark. We are beautiful just as we are. We are southern girls with our own kind of southern curls. With our own kind of southern curls. Oh, with our own kind of southern.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That one is, oh, thank you. Thank you. It is just such an honor to be here in front of such a beautiful audience. Y'all have such a special thing here. Just the energy here in this room tonight, and I hope you can hear it on the radio too, but it feels pretty magical, and I'm very lucky to be here. As you mentioned before, I'm putting out a new EP called Tennessee Moon, but I thought I'd play a song that I haven't recorded yet, but I think it really gives you a little introduction to me and why I like doing country music. People often ask me why country, and for me that was the songs that my mom played in the minivan on the way to school. We listened to a lot of 90s and early 2000s country women. So think, you know, the Chicks and Sarah Evans and Trisha Yearwood and all those ladies that told me that I was ready to run and born to fly and, you know, maybe how to kill and dispose of a body if I needed to, you know. Everything that little me and, you know, I was in the backseat going, goodbye, Earl, you know, I just loved it. So I think that those songs really turned me into the person I am, but also the artist I am today. So this one's for my mama. It's called The Women Who Made Me.
Pick me up at 2:03, teary eyed, scraped knees. Kids can point, they can tease, but mom knew what to do. She said, don't cry another word, just roll down the window and cranked up the radio. We were singing all the way home. I was ready to run through wide open spaces, X's and O's, born to fly, singing something brave, fancy. Let's go, mom and me in a minivan, rocking to the 90s, to the songs that saved me. This one's for the girls. never let me know her worst days, pain and grief. She smiled at me and grabbed the keys. She wouldn't cry another word, just rolled down the window and cranked up the radio. We were screaming on the back roads. I was ready to run through wide open spaces, X's and O's, born to fly, singing something brave, fancy. Let's go, mom and me in a minivan, rocking to the 90s, to the songs that save me. This one's for the girls and the women who made me. This one, this one's for the girls, the women who made me. This one, this one's for the girls. Thanks for the melodies that carried me. Thanks for the words that gave me strength to speak. Now I'm standing on this stage trying to say something brave for the girl who needs to hear someone say that she's ready to run through wide open spaces, X's and O's. She's born to fly and sing something brave, fancy. Let's go, mom and me in a minivan, rocking to the 90s, to the songs that save me. This one's for the girls and the women who made me. This one's for the girls, the women who made me. This one's for the girls, for the women who made me.
Thank you so much.
Julie Williams, y'all. Let her hear you. Man. Tennessee Moon is the name of her new EP. And Dad and Brothers, y'all got a real jewel here, man. She's got it going on. Yeah, Julia Williams. We'll never have her back because we won't be able to afford her. That's what's happening there. All right, y'all, thank y'all for coming out on a beautiful Oxford evening. And Julie is right. There is some magic in this room, and y'all brought it out. We appreciate y'all being here. One more time for all our guests, if you don't mind. Alice Hazen and the Blaze, Fiddling Up a Storm. ML Rio, Graveyard Shift, Spooky. We got that fungus among us. And one more time for Julie Williams, Tennessee Moon. Beautiful voice, beautiful songwriting. One more from this band, and we'll see you on the radio. One, two, three, four,
coming in the morning and sun shining bright. Eyes all red and your face was a mess, but you stay last night. Who's holding you tight? Ain't have no loving, but stay last. Thank you.
Thacker Mountain Radio Hour's executive director is Lucy Gaines. Our production director is Tim Lee. Our broadcast and post-production engineer is Jeffrey Reed. Our front-of-house engineer is Blake Gardner.
Somebody